Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in North Bushy. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. Much better than this, however, is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you.
Okay, look, we are going to come to the word today, and we'll spend the next few minutes digging deeper into this book. In a series that we've been in here, we've been in Stevenage, we've been in Central Watford, as all the sort of different blends of what is Wellspring Church come together, we have been in the same series. And I want us to see if we can make these next few minutes count. Can we agree to try and make the next few minutes count? It's very easy, I know, at this part of the service, you know, you're not being asked to stand up, you're not being asked to sing, you can kind of sit back all passively and, you know, we're just sort of cruising in till the next song. But I want us to agree, if you're willing to join me, to make this time count, to see if the word will actually speak to us today in such a way that it will be making a difference on Tuesday, well, let's not forget Monday, but also Wednesday and all the way through the week. Are you willing to risk that? To say that these next few minutes will impact you beyond when we're gathering, when you're cracking on with all the things in your own life and your own to-do list, whether that's at home or work in your community or whether, is that okay? Marvellous. Some of you are agreeing and others are like, well, we'll wait and see. We will wait and see. And that's fine. Okay, we are looking in this mini-series about making room for more and this beautiful place that clearly we all want to move into because it looks bigger than anywhere that any of us live. But we're making room for more. And we've been using the text of Isaiah. Does this all sound familiar to you? I was here last week, so I know Magdi was on Isaiah, and I've listened to Dan's from the week before, and I know he was on Isaiah. So we've been looking at a few verses in Isaiah 51 to try and unpack what it is that we're saying, what are we making room for, and how we're going to do that. And they have brilliantly unpacked the context of Isaiah really well. So I'm going to cheekily not unpack a huge amount of Isaiah's context and just try and apply it today. Is that okay? If you've missed the others and you think, well, I want the context of Isaiah, then you'll have to go and listen to the podcast because that's just easier. Now, before we jump into the context and the application of Isaiah, I wanted to put it in the context of a verse that is key to us in Wellspring Church, key to us here in Wellspring and Trinity. And interestingly, because I have the privilege of going and speaking in some other places as well, I have found that this verse has been kind of bubbling and bringing life into different contexts. And I believe this is actually on the Lord's heart for all of us in any context, whether you're Wellspring or not Wellspring. So I want to remind you of Ephesians 3:20. Are you familiar with Ephesians 3:20? Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and he says this, "Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." Now, we preached from this at the very beginning of the year, so I know that this verse was there, but we want to carry this verse through, and it's out of this we want to speak today. Now, just pause for a minute. It is God's ability working his power through us to do infinitely more than we might ask or imagine. We are not asking all of us to suddenly upskill and get really, really good at things so we can go, wow, didn't we do great? We're not worried about our skills. We're not worried about our abilities. We are focusing on the Lord's ability and his power at work through us to do infinitely more than we might ask or imagine. Have you been asking more this year so far? Have you begun to lift your eyes heavenward to think, okay, well, I asked for this kind of experience last year. I'm going for this now. Has your bucket list expanded in faith and expectation that God wants to do infinitely more than you can ask or imagine? Now, with this Isaiah verses that we're looking at, I want us to look at it from the context of Ephesians 3:20. So with Paul saying that there's infinitely more, I want us to be thinking, well, yes, but how? It's always a good question. if any of you getting a preacher and a preacher is coming up with this great theory, it's always a good question. If you're reading a book, go, yes, but how? How are we going to see this? Because this is what I believe Isaiah is going to give us some wisdom. Not that Isaiah wrote after Ephesians. Don't get all confused on your, you know, your timelines. Isaiah was way before. But I think as we look at the scripture of Isaiah, we will be able to get some of the yes, but hows when we look at, well, what is it for God's ability to move and his power to move? So if you've got your Bibles, it's always good to bring your Bibles and look at it in context. But if you don't worry. We're just doing two verses today from Isaiah, and they will come up on the screen. But it is always good to look in your Bible, partly because Isaiah just moves every time. Okay, Isaiah 51, and we're going to read two verses. That is all. Verses 7 and 8. Listen. We've heard a lot about listen, right, in these last 2 weeks. Dan was about look and listen. Magdy last week was about listen, come on, listen. And then he was talking about his finger, remember his finger. Actually, it was that finger. Remember his finger, gruesome story. Anyway, listen to me, you who know right from wrong. You who cherish my law in your hearts, do not be afraid of people's scorn, nor fear their insults. For the moth will devour them as it devours clothing. The worm will eat at them as it eats at wool. But my righteousness will last forever. My salvation will continue from generation to generation. We are going to just pause in these verses, and with the Ephesians verse in our mind of God's ability and power working through us to do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine, we're going to sit in Isaiah and say, well, yes, but how? How are we going to see the reality of this making room for more? What does it really mean from these verses in Isaiah? And if you just, we're just going to keep that verse up so you can keep refreshing. The first bit, okay, listen to me, you who know right from wrong, you who cherish my law in your hearts. The way this is written for us, we have this little comma. I think the little comma could be the massive dash, slash, pause, because I think there's a massive difference between the first half of that sentence and the second half of the sentence. Most people on planet Earth know right from wrong. It's called a conscience. Most people have a sense, even from young, about right and wrong, yes? Yes? The difference is you who cherish my law in your heart. This makes the absolute difference. If we want to make room for more of God doing what God wants to do, of God showing who he is, of his ability and power at work within us, of him enabling us to make room for more by listening to more, we have to grow in our capacity to cherish his law, as Isaiah says, in our hearts. Now, we can get all bothered by the word law. Oh, I don't like law. I like being free. And I understand that. But let's take the understanding of what law means, of God's truth. And again, we don't really like truth anymore because it's all relative and we want your truth to be your truth and my truth. But there is a truth that is true that is true. And when we cherish God's truth in our hearts, it is not legalistic. It is an experience with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, bringing relationship alive. When we cherish him in our hearts, then we begin to see the yes, but how we make room for more. Now, there are various different people who have spoken in about what it is to have something in your heart as opposed to in just your head. We can all be very good at learning things, right? We can learn stuff. We can be full of knowledge. Some people are really good at Trivial Pursuit type general knowledge thing. That's never my thing. Like, I'm really good with Google, but, you know, actually retaining it, different matter. But a lot of people, we're good at learning things. Yes, we learn new skills. We stretch ourselves. But it's when that knowledge becomes the experience in our heart. Now, James, he wrote, do you remember the letter to James? He wrote in there in 1:22, it won't come up on the screen, but if you want to look it up later, don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says. Otherwise, you're fooling yourself. And then he goes on and he describes it about looking at your face in the mirror and then going away and forgetting what you look like, which sometimes is a really blessed thing to do sometimes. But, you know, he's not advocating it. So there is a knowledge that we can all have that he says, but you've got to do it. You can't just know what the word of God says. You've got to actually action it. And there are two beautiful verses that talk about this, about etching this on our hearts. So the writer to Hebrews captures this, and it's not coming up on the screen. I'm just going to read it to you. In Hebrews 8, verse 10, "This is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their people, or I will be their God, and they will be my people." There is an etching on our hearts that is revelation of who the Lord is, that the Lord wants to give us. This is how we will grow in our capacity to make room for more, by allowing him to etch himself into our hearts. Paul also, when he wrote to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 3, says this. Again, it's a beautiful thing. He's describing us like a letter. It's just so beautifully written. But in 2 Corinthians 3:3, it says this: "Clearly you are a letter from Christ, showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts." There is a revelation in our hearts of who the Lord is, that he wants to increase in us. It will increase our expectations of who he is as a result, and what he wants to do in and through us. And we will shift from being legalistic and in our relationship into a love relationship from the Lord. We will shift from just having information about him to impartation of him. We will shift from a knowledge of who Jesus is to an experience of who Jesus is. And we will shift from the theory of what it is to be a Christ follower into the experience of being a Christ follower. So yes, but how? Is this something the Holy Spirit will do alone on us? If we just give him permission, will he just begin sketching away on our heart? Or do we have some part to play? We can jump back into Isaiah for this, to understand the yes, but hows. So we've had the first bit: listen to me, you know right from wrong, you who cherish my law in your hearts. Then Isaiah goes on to say something which was really relevant to the people of the day, where they were trying to pursue the Lord, but they were remnants and scattered and, you know, persecuted for their faith. Now, if Isaiah had Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and that sort of insatiable appetite that many of us now have to put our lives out there out loud and to get all these likes and these little hearts and all this affirmation, then this is relevant now as it was in those times, just with different messages around. Listen to this. "Do not be afraid of people's scorn, nor fear their insults. For the moth will devour them as it's devouring clothing. The worm will eat at them as it eats wool. But my righteousness will last forever. My salvation will continue from generation to generation." In order to make room for more, we need to potentially move some things out the way. And people pleasing, the fear of people's opinions, is crippling to many. Now, please hear me, because there's a caveat. You know the terms and conditions of all these things that you suddenly get. Okay, the terms and conditions of this small print here, is I'm not saying we should go about and be unaccountable, uninterested in what people would want to speak into our lives, because we should all be accountable to someone. We should all be humble enough to have people speak into our lives. So I'm not now saying that you have permission to go, la, 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 I don't care what anyone thinks anymore, I'm just going to do what I want. I'm not saying that. But people-pleasing is gripping our culture, desiring human affirmation and fearing rejection of people, scorn of people, is gripping our culture, whether we want to admit it or not. I had this conversation with my kids. Now, I'm not going to get too distracted by this because it is a message for another day, but I'm getting involved in some work that is because of who God has made me and where he's positioned me. He's opening up opportunities for me to talk to people about getting relationships and our habits into a place of more sexual dignity and lots of porn conversations, basically. Anyway, I had this meeting the other day at Watford Football Club. And it was a fantastic meeting, and I'm not going into all the details, but I was talking to my kids afterwards saying, oh, this is what we might be able to do in partnership with the football club. And I was suddenly encroaching on my children's turf. Now, you see, Tim, we have two season tickets for home games, and Tim will alternate with our kids and take one at a time, and they go and they have their football time. Yesterday, it was my turn because Tim's in Burkina Faso, and it's too far to commute back for the game. So I went with my daughter. So I was saying, oh, yeah, just imagine if we have a video that, you know, because they play videos at halftime, and you would have thought I was asking her to walk naked across the field, the pitch, the playing thing, you know, the green bit. You would have thought I was saying to her, okay, there's going to be a neon sign on you, and everyone's going to, because she's suddenly like, is your face going to be on it? It's like, well, I don't know, we haven't even made the film yet. It's like, you know, I don't know, we haven't even got a name yet for this thing that I'm involved in. But suddenly she was gripped with, I could die for this, mother. And then she linked it very cleverly, because then it's double mortification. She linked it to my son, like, he will be killed for that, mum. You have to understand the school he goes to and what's going to happen. And suddenly, this people-pleasing... So then, I'm then sitting with my daughter working out how to detangle all my social media platforms to create a really safe space for uploading family stuff and be completely detangled so that nobody can trace my kids back to me in a little while's time. So it's like, we're going to have to delete things, we're going to have to set up different accounts, we're going to have a public thing. It's like, oh, for goodness sake. But the fear of what people say and do is very real. So we have to understand, well, what is God saying? What is God saying? Because can we look at what he says about us more than what we have people saying about us? Have any of you ever moved house? To do that, did you sell another house or did you... Okay, you know that process, as opposed to, I don't know, just moved out of your parents' house. You know when you sell a house, there's a hilarious... Well, actually, it's really stressful. Let's not even pretend. It's just a really stressful thing you go through. When you sell a house, you have to do all these things, like you have to tidy up and clean. Who knew? But you have to tidy up and clean. You also have to put fresh coffee on every day, just in case someone's coming to look around. You have to break bread. Break? You don't break it. You bake bread. You know, you do all these things, and you have smelly candles that you wouldn't necessarily have in every place, so that it just smells amazing. And it's all just really beautiful. And anytime someone comes and look around, they go, wow, this smells great. I would like to live in this smell. And this is what you're meant to do. Now, when we were selling our last house, the estate agents were lovely, and eventually they did their job. But they came round to our house and said, okay, look, the decluttering that you're doing, that's a good thing, but could we also ask you to make sure that the five people who live in this house are never in when we do a show round? It's like, how rude. How rude. I could sell our house very well, thank you very much. And they said, no, you are five people, and if you are here, no one's going to think there's room for themselves. We need you out of the way in order for people to realize, oh, there's room for me and my family to come in. The five of us just took up too much space. There is a time in our lives when we have to recognize that there are some people and that there is some stuff that is blocking us from pursuing the Father. Now, I'm not talking about cutting off everybody in your world and just going to be a hermit where you can live happily ever after. It is about whose opinion and whose priority we put first. And there are some people's opinions that are in the way for us. There is some stuff and some priorities that is in the way for us. And I believe it's time to do a little bit of a tidy up to be able to make room for more. In John's letters, do you remember this, where he talks about love casts out fear? Love expels fear. And there are times when we are gripped with so much fear, and the Lord is saying, if we could just move this out of the way, then there will be more room for me to do what I'm able to do, what I want to do. Let my power move through you. So we need to clear some things out, and we need to prioritize the likes that we crave and hunger for, so that it is the Father's opinion that matters the most. Now back to Isaiah, just to finish, because I am aware of the time, and we will, you know, you'll all want your lunch at some point, unless you've all brought your packed lunch today, in which case we'll just crack on and eat it here. Where we go back into this, you've got this whole thing about moths eating clothing and worms coming in with wool. So you could be grossed out by that, and if you've ever had moths in your home, you know, they're just messy, and it's all gross. But the point of this is quite significant. When we're being insulted by somebody, when we're being afraid of someone's opinion, don't those opinions seem huge? Don't those opinions seem like, oh my gosh, that person's rejected me. Oh my gosh, that person has said this of me. And it seems so huge. And if you've ever seen a moth, have we got any people who are going to hate me if I talk about killing moths? Well, I'm not afraid of your opinion. It's fine. I'm going to go with my sermon. You know, moths, they're really squishy. They're really little squishy things. They're weak. They have to do their stuff in secret, because if you see them chomping down on your jumpers, you just squishy them. They're nothing. And Jesus is saying, or Isaiah is saying, all of these big opinions that seem so huge, just the squishy thing is actually stronger than them. So if this squishy thing is stronger than them, how much more so is the strength of our Lord, who loves you, laid his life down for you, and wants to fill you with his spirit so that you have him as your focus. The other thing about these squishy things, taking away at these really powerful people. If we want to really make room for more, for God to do more in our lives, for more revelation and understanding of who he is and what he wants to do through us, individually, personally, and collectively, we need our timelines to go from that which is temporary to understand that which is eternal. You see, the point of these moths chomping in shows that those people, those things that were getting in the way for the people who were following God, and Isaiah was saying, wake up, listen, they were temporary. Whereas God is of eternity. Generation after generation, salvation after salvation, he is eternal. But we get hung up on that which is temporary. And here is a really big challenge. But we need to stretch our timeline. I found myself praying. There's a song. It's a terrible song. And I now can't remember who it's by. I would sing it, but that you'll just all be, you know, praying in tongues. My kids, we went on family holiday, and there was a song, you know, we've been to the year 3000.
Busted.
Yeah. No, I don't think it is. Is it? We'll give you that song. And your great, great, great granddaughter, she's pretty fine. Okay, I found myself listening to this song the other day, and it took me straight back to my family holiday. But you know the weird thing that then happened? I started praying for my great, great, great granddaughter. I have never prayed for her before. Ever. I don't know her name. I don't know what she looks like. I probably never will. But I prayed for my great-great-great-granddaughter. You see, I was in a moment where I was in the very present. As I was driving and these silly songs were in the background, I've been told I'm too old for Radio 1, but anyway, I was listening to these songs and I was thinking about stuff that is very current and very irritating in my life. And very pressured and very like, I would like to resign from this part of life, but I can't. And I was in this pressure, and suddenly God pulled me into this wake up and said, but this is a blip. This is just a small part in a timeline. And then this crazy, stupid song came over, you know, where we're all living underwater. And I started praying for my great, great, great granddaughter. You know, family, we don't all have to listen to those tunes, honestly. You know, you can meet with the Lord without that experience. But I want to encourage you to stretch your timeline. What you're currently focused on, the Lord is saying, but there's an eternal salvation story that is running through your family, that is running through you. And if we want to make room for more of God, if we want to listen to what he's saying, then I want to encourage you to not just think of that which is in the now, but to think of that which is in the not yet. And not just your own comfort and fun in heaven, but the purposes of the Lord in positioning you here that lines up some things for the generations to come. Because the person that you speak to about your faith when you're at work, when you talk to them about who God is to you, they one day might have a child who has a child who has a child, and you don't know what you are sowing into somebody's life that will make room for more in their lives because of your faithfulness to not just live in the moment, but to live in the now and not yet. Does that make sense to you? We are being invited to make room for more, and we need a bigger picture. Have you heard of Jackie Pullinger? She is this fantastic lady who went from Croydon, near where I was actually born, just saying, went from there all the way over to China, and she's been doing this missions work for years and years and years. She had this interview in Christianity magazine just recently. I don't know if you read it. But I read it a while back, and then I just pulled out this sentence. It's just a hilarious sentence, really. But she's talking about being a missionary, and she's talking about the fact that we're all meant to be missionaries. It's not like somebody's job that, you know, just put sandals on and go overseas. We're all meant to be missionaries here, there, anywhere and everywhere. Your workplace needs you as a missionary. But anyway, so she was talking about this, and she says this: my concern is that Scripture has told us clearly that we are all to be going, in other words, in a missional mindset, as well as packing our bags. And the reason the Lord left us behind is to do the job he told us to do. So, she says, we'd better get equipped to do it. Instead of living this life as if this life is it. Let me say that last bit. So we'd better get equipped to do it. Instead of living this life as if this life is it. It's not. This is a very short life. An eternal life is forever. And this is the funniest bit. She says, we're going to feel stupid for eternity if we wasted this one. I'm not so sure we will feel stupid for eternity. But there is the point there that we do live this life as if this life is it. Don't we? We know that one day, yes, yes, one day. But we live as if this life is it. Well, I believe Ephesians, where Paul is writing to them about the more, and the way that we're looking through what Isaiah was saying is saying, friends, family, moths are going to deal with the stuff of this world that's temporary. So let's make room for more, that we would look at the eternal, we would consider the bigger. We would sow seeds that will bear fruit in people's lives that we might never even see this side of glory. But live with a bigger, bigger perspective. So we're going to close here. But there's a couple of things I want you to think about that we can pray over. In the bit of head knowledge versus heart knowledge, I want to give you the option to consider if you feel that you know a lot of stuff about God, about the Father, about the Son, about the Holy Spirit. You know stuff, you know scriptures, you can quote scriptures. But if you feel that with thinking about it today, that is more head stuff than experience. Have you experienced the Holy Spirit moving in you and through you to reveal the Lord more to you? Do you want to make room for more of that heart revelation? Because I feel like there are some people here today that the Lord is saying, okay, I want you to lift up some people's opinions that you've held dear and just kind of move them out of the way. And then you'll be ready for revelation to go from your head to your heart about the Father. Do you want to make more space for revelation? And then there's other people in the room that actually you are so engrossed in the now, in the ordeals of now, in the trials of now, in the challenges of now, in the prayers of now, in the circumstances of now, in the season of now, that actually the Lord is inviting you to make room for more perspective that goes longer term. So perhaps that is you. Lord, I would like to see my circumstances now placed on an eternal scale. I was chatting with a friend earlier on this morning, and I just said to him, I just can't wait for this season to end. And he started talking about the weather, and I think he thought I meant that. So I just let him go with it. because as I was saying it, I was hearing myself, it's like, and I knew what I was going to be preaching. It's like, well, of course it's going to end. Of course it is. And he was talking about the sunshine and longer days and spring is coming. And I was like, well, that is coming too. But other things in the perspective of eternity, our struggles are nothing. In the perspective of eternity, however big they are now, and I don't say that without compassion for some really difficult situations being endured, but in the place of eternity, take courage, have hope, because this too will pass. So why don't you close your eyes? Don't fall asleep, just close your eyes. And I'm just going to pray for you, then I'm going to hand over to Barbie and she's going to lead us on through. If you are somebody who has been gripped by people's opinions, then I want to encourage you now, as we pray for you, to be willing to let go, to make room for the Father and revelation into your heart of who he is. And if you need a longer timeline perspective, then I want you to choose to see your situation in a season and hear the voice of the Father, this too shall pass. So let's pray. Father, I thank you that your word shows us that you love to write your truth on our hearts, where it will impact us and change our behavior and influence us right from our very core. And I pray right now, Lord, for those people who have recently and over a long time been really influenced by some key people's opinion of them. Some key people who seem to have an disproportionate volume to their voice, an increased influence in lives. Lord, I pray for the people in this room hearing this, to put aside opinions that are not of you. To not be fearful anymore of people's scorn, but to take courage and allow your love to cast out that fear, to take hold of what you have. So that we can be filled more and more with your truth about us and for us, that your power and your ability will work through us because it's your truth defining us, not somebody else's opinion. So, Lord, I pray for wisdom and revelation. And, Lord, for those in a season that is a struggle and a daily battle, Lord, I pray that you would give revelation. That this too shall pass. This pain will not accompany you forever. This battle will not continue forever. But you, Lord, will last forever. Your righteousness, your salvation, your eternity, that will last forever.
Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and his peace be yours. For the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, Amen.